welcome to Rugged Theology, where we talk church planting, theology, and drink coffee. Welcome to Rugged Theology. I messed up some buttons because we're trying to record online with John Lewis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good. I have some cold brew here. Matt, you don't have anything.
No.
That's weird for you.
No, I already had a coffee this morning. And yeah, I'm kind of hungry too. So if I have another coffee, I'm going to just be really hungry.
Yeah.
So no, maybe
Well,
this afternoon.
we can get McDonald's later.
Oh, nice.
Actually, sorry, John, I shouldn't say that in front of you because you don't even have McDonald's.
Yeah, John.
I know.
Up there in the boons there. All right, guys. Just wanted to bring you two on specifically because,
You too.
yeah, you two. There's only two of you. Can you not count?
Nope. We all know.
Matt
We
Leahy does not do math, like at all. So I'm bringing you two on, because you guys are the ones having done services every single Sunday this year. I've only just started doing services once a month, so I'm way behind you. But you two, you've been doing services every week. John, you don't have a team, and Matt, you've had a team on and off, and then they've left, and then you've had someone, and then they left. I don't know if the issue is you or not, but
I don't know what
So very just know a little bit, Matt, why don't you share first, like what were your expectations first going into 52 weeks this year? Like when you started in January, what were you expecting this would look like? Because for lack of a better word, I know this popular thing lately, and I agree with it, is like we engage the city, we make disciples, and then you have a church. Like your goal isn't necessarily to have that Sunday service every single week. Your goal is to make disciples and have a church, right? Not just the church service isn't the end goal. So, but it's still something you build up to and you're excited for, right? That moment you were able to launch and go to 52 Sundays a year. So what were your expectations going into this?
Oh, wow, what a great question. I think before I answer that,
You like that question?
I do.
Yeah, that's tight
I do.
enough for you.
That was a good question. In the lead up to going 52 weeks, we spent, I think, 2 years doing one service a month. And for someone like me who I when I do something, I try to put my heart, mind, and body and soul and strength into it. Like it's my personality. And so, when we got to 52 weeks, I was so thankful that I had the time to learn what my limits were as far as writing was concerned or sermon prep. I knew what my I think what my limits were in just gearing up and getting ready for services. Like I had that I was doing sprints every month, so to speak, and it was preparing me for what was to come at the beginning of 2024. But if I can be honest, even though I had done almost 2 years of one service a month, I was really nervous for that first service.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I remember waking up that morning and just feeling just nervous. It was like this nervous excitement. I think it was because you were kind of in some ways kicked out of the nest. You're trying to learn how to fly. You're trying to run on your own. It was the nervousness of, okay, here we go. I don't really know where this is going to go in the next, few months. But let's just put one foot forward, take that first step, then take the next one. And I had no idea who was going to show up to the service. I had no idea what the reception would have been because we had moved from Kilbride into the Goulds. I had no idea, because you got this ideal in your head about, I want the service to go, bang, 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 this thing, this thing, this thing. Let's make it go smooth. But things happen when you try and step out and do anything, and so there's just that nervous excitement about, okay, here we go.
So what about you, John? It was a bit different for you because you got up there like a month at a time, or however it worked. You weren't able to do once a month services for 2 years. You were up there for a month doing three services or four, back for like a 4 or 5 months, back up again. So when you moved up there and you knew you were going to every single Sunday for a service, what were your expectations going into it?
Well, I mean, I was excited. I mean, to actually be here, because the what I expected was finally having weekly services. I could do a sermon program like walking through a book of the Bible uninterrupted, to where, every week I could put the effort into expositing, the scripture and, building upon it from there. And I kind of had this idea that, well, since I'm going to be here every week, I'll be able to focus also on the discipleship, not just the Sunday worship service, but on the discipleship. And I expected, by the end of the year, we would have like some type of weekly discipleship thing going on, hopefully a men or a women's or even a children's or something along those lines. That didn't pan out. The sermons and the weekly worship services are going great, but I'm not getting any buy-in beyond that. So I'm only seeing everyone for like a week, during a week, for an hour, and if I try to go out to them, then I'm kind of spreading myself too thin on top of everything else I'm trying to accomplish, because, I'm being a one-man show. It's put together the worship service. That includes all aspects of it, then making sure the building's clean. If we have rental groups, preparing the building for that, on top of all my other weekly duities. So it's I've been trying to formulate and pray a lot about, like, well, how can I better disciple everyone if I'm not getting this buy-in? Like, what am I doing wrong here, to where I can like improve my opportunities, I guess, to disciple the folks, and continue building into these folks to where we don't just have Sunday morning Christians. We have folks that want to invest in the church and see this church succeed and continue on long after I'm gone, So, but I it has been a good experience. I mean, don't mistake me. I've enjoyed being here. We've been doing a walkthrough of the Matthew's Gospel. And I've had a lot of good feedback, a lot of good interaction with the folks, talking about the scripture and everything. It's just, yeah, it's just beyond the worship services where I'm kind of struggling to find like what works and what doesn't.
So what would you say has been your biggest struggle since starting, a service every Sunday and going, for lack of a better term, full time church? What's been your biggest struggle?
The biggest struggle is the time management. I want to put a designated amount of time into the sermon to make sure I'm giving a good, accurate sermon. You know what I mean? But then, I don't want to say I'm squeezing it in, but then I catch myself doing that. It's like, okay, well, need to get up. I need to find out what music is going to correlate good with the sermon. Okay, put the music together because we're using lyric videos for music. We don't have a music team. Put all that together in a presentation. Do some bulletins for the worship service. Hopefully, do a social media post. Make sure the sanctuary is put together. Do we have enough supplies like coffee and stuff like that? With our staff meetings and then trying to touch base with like things like our partners and stuff like that. You just get caught up, and it's like even like right now, I can't believe it's already Thursday. I can't believe I'm this far into the week, and I'm like, man, I still haven't done this. I haven't done this. I haven't done this. And then here I am trying to, well, I still need to go back and review my sermon, polish it up a little bit, and where am I going to squeeze it in here? Let's, and I hate that aspect of it, that it's kind of like The discipling should come first, but then kind of like these other obligation and responsibilities you also have to squeeze in there. So for me, yeah, it's the time management.
So, what about you, Matt? What's been your biggest struggle since going again, we'll say full time?
I think for me, I totally get and I feel what John is talking about. But I think for me personally, the biggest struggle I have and I had is managing expectations. And that largely comes because I have a perfectionist mentality and approach to stuff. And I mentioned that just a few minutes ago, but it's struggling to adapt and adopt in how do I word it? Like adapting and adopting to change. And so like Adam, you hit on it earlier. John doesn't have a team, and I've had people come in and go and come and go, come and leave, and it seems like to be this constant thing that, it's the hand that God has dealt me. And so there have been times when in my mind the ideal was to have two people doing music, then I would preach, and there'd be this, concise, liturgical, flow of the service. And you get used to that as a perfectionist, you get used to it and you're like, hey, that's the ideal. That's what I want to go for. But then what happens when, people leave the team? And so you got to pivot and I got to wrestle with it. And then, unfortunately or fortunately, it's both and for me, my wife plays a huge part in the service. And I had someone say to me a couple of weeks back, a new family that joined, and they pulled me aside and said, hey, is it just you and your wife that does everything? And that hit me because I'm like, yeah, it is. And so that's something I've got to wrestle with, but I struggle because I want to protect my wife to not be me. Like she's not the one who carries the same weight that I do, that the burden that I do. She's like everyone else who full-time job, we got to raise our kids. And so I want to make sure I'm protecting her and not, making her be the jack of all or the Jill of all trades when it comes to the church. And so, John mentioned he does lyric videos. And so we had to do that for the first time a couple weeks back. And that was a huge, like, I don't know how to process that because that's not my ideal. That's not how I want the church to go. And so, it's constantly having to wrestle with the ideals and what I think a church should go. And then, not getting stuck in this is how church has to go because we're there to worship, right? So, and that could look like a lyric video. It could look like, insert word here. So, yeah.
So guys, I'm feeling a bit of this week. I've got a full team. Well, I mean, one guy is part-time and works 2 days because he's in school. But I do have a fantastic administrator who works with me, Jasmine, and she helps. But even this week, like sickness has visited her house. I'm in between almost in a sense you and John because I'm not musical at all. Like you've got your wife who sings, you can play guitar, I can preach. John, can you can play a little bit of guitar, can't
Yeah, if you want to call it that,
you? John's the guy up at like the
yeah.
meeting. No, do you
You
have
know,
to?
it's funny too because I'm like with Matt. It's like I really don't like relying on lyric videos for worship service, but I've had several people say, "Oh no, I like the format we have here. It works great." And to me, it's just it's not, it would be so much better to have a person up front leading the singing. And it's so much more encouraging and more heartfelt when you have, that type of musical leader up there.
It's also the heart behind it, I guess, too, right? But I mean, Sabrina's been sick. She hasn't been able to practice her songs. We didn't know if she was gonna sing this Sunday or not because we got a service. I've seemed to have gotten whatever she's gotten. Jasmine was sick earlier, and then I'm like, well, I gotta write my sermon. Bolton's gotta get done. Liturgy's gotta get done, and I'm trying to figure out what can I knock off while the two ladies are sick. And I'm realizing, wow, they helped me a lot, and realizing how much it actually helps to have that team, right? So I mean, if you're listening, that's a prayer point for these two guys and their churches is just. it would be such a benefit to them to have an extra team to lift that burden, because then they can even, you know, focus on other things, right?
That's right,
More
yeah.
focus on the sermon, or more focus into discipleship, or how you're going to work that out, roll that out. So you talked about your expectations, the biggest issue that you face. So you've almost both done a full year now of services.
Yeah.
So talk to me, like, you know, whoever wants to go first, but talk to me about what that expectation led into, and how did it meet your expectations? Were there things that surprised you? Were you ever stressed about, you know, this seems to be no break. Like, how did this work out this year for you guys?
I think I think things have gone swimmingly. Like it's been such a joy to watch the Lord work and move in transforming people, in saving people. I mean, listen, from the pulpit you get this front row seat in watching the Holy Spirit change lives, almost, you know, as you're preaching, and you see people wrestling and being convicted, and just, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. But you know, we're humans and we get tired. And so I know for me in the last, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I have felt tired in the sense of yeah, just not having that team around me. But in the same breath, I've also just been sustained by the Lord in ways that I just didn't know were possible. And you know, even with having to travel, like it's like, how do I get back now and write a sermon in 2.5 days or 3 days? And you know, you put your mind to it, you get your head in the books, you get into prayer, and you just rely on the Spirit to lead you, and you just, yeah, you leave it at the foot of the cross and just trust that Jesus uses that. And so it's been, yeah, it's been good.
What kind of frustrations have you had?
Throughout the last year,
Yeah.
what kind of frustrations have I had? Listen, this is a hard one to say, but and I don't like admitting it, because God is so good, He's so faithful, He pours out so many blessings. But I, in the same breath, if I'm going to be honest with you, I have found myself frustrated at Him. And it's, man, it's so hard to say that, and I'm just being real. But like, again, coming back to my ideals and how I want things to go, I want the full team, I want the time management, I want the freedom to do this, and I keep going, I want, I want, I want, and I'm not getting, I'm not getting, I'm not getting. And so I have found myself getting frustrated at the hand that He has dealt me. And again, I don't want, I don't, it's hard to admit something like that, because like I said, God is just, He's, Jesus is so good. He's so good. But it, I would be lying if I were to say I haven't been frustrated that I don't have people staying. I haven't gotten frustrated at the little time that I want to spend crafting a sermon, like as John mentioned. I would be lying if I were saying I wasn't getting frustrated that, you know, I've got 25-ish people that I can't disciple the way that I want to, because as John mentioned as well, your time is just split in three different directions. But
I would say, you know, building off what Matt said, it's I remember from an early age somebody telling me, if you ask God to give you patience, He's not going to give you patience, He will teach it,
yes,
you
yeah, that's
know.
good. He's gonna.
And that's one thing He's been doing for me, because like when I get frustrated and I say, like, I just don't understand, why is the discipleship going nowhere, you know? But when I sit and think about like 3 years ago, when I was preaching to a room of four and five people, you know, or even 2 years ago, when I had maybe six or seven, one guy's watching his phone the whole time, another person's over here dozing off. It's like, but, and then I think about now when I have, you know, 15, 20, maybe even just a little more on the good Sundays. Everybody seems dialed in and they're enjoying it. And it's like, so it makes me feel a little bit embarrassed and ashamed to think that I'm frustrated with the lack of discipleship. There is discipleship, it's just not going at my pace,
Yeah.
you know. And that's where I have to, you know, kind of humble myself and think, Lord, help me to know your will. Help me to know what's the next step I need to take and what's the next opportunity I should seize upon and maybe focus less in something else, and more in this direction. So going into the new year, it's like, that's one of the big things. And like when folks ask, like, how can we be praying for you? It's like, man, how do I articulate this to them? It's like, just pray for me to be focused, to have that good discernment, to for God to bless this church and grow this church here and help me, be a part of that, to point them in the right direction, to preach the gospel every Sunday and, just effectively and accurately. So.
So have you guys seen growth spiritually and physically since doing weekly services?
Like, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's, as far as growth is concerned, yeah. I mean, listen, when we it's a funny thing. When we started going to 52 weeks back in January, I felt like the Lord brought in new people, and a lot of the people that were with us prior to this have just dropped off. And so it's fascinating watching the Lord bring in people and then take people away. But as far as like, and listen, I'm not a numbers guy. I don't get hung up. I know numbers are important in some areas, but I don't get hung up on too much on the, I had this many out this week. But we're averaging 25-ish people, which is kind of right online with the projected outlook for church plants here. We're 5 years in. I'm seeing people, be transformed more into the image of Jesus. I had a brother message me just a couple of weeks ago, pretty much saying, "Hey, listen, I've dropped the ball. The Spirit has been convicting me of sin in my life. Thank you for preaching the gospel. Thank you for preaching the word. Help me." And so, yeah, but when you talk about discipleship, it's a long road. You have to have that perspective of if you see things change overnight, great, praise God. But it's a long road to see growth and change happen.
What about you, John? What kind of growth have you seen spiritually and physically or numerically?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the growth doesn't happen at my pace, what I want to see, but it is happening. And it's been reassuring too, because I had at least two people say to me, like when this other pastor was here, we weren't growing this fast,
And you're
and
like,
I'm
we're not growing
thinking,
fast enough.
yeah, exactly, and then I've had people say, wow, I like the way you preach because it's like you're teaching us so much information that we had, and now it all fits together. Like when I read the Bible, sometimes it doesn't make sense, but when you lay it out for us, and when you hear things like that, it's very reassuring that, I am, because we do rely on exposition when we preach, and it's very much a teaching ministry here, and I don't think they've had that in the last 20 years. And now that they are having it, you see the growth, and it's just for me, it's like I said, it's like, how can I improve the discipleship more than just an hour a week through a worship service, So, but it is growing, the numbers have steadily increased just slowly, and but the important thing is we people are engaged during the worship service and during the sermon, so.
No, that's great. I love to hear that, John. So from you guys now, I'm just starting once a month services. My goal, if this goes well, is even look at, and again, this changes on the fly, but do we do weekly next year, next September? Do we do the bi-weekly? Like, what does it look like? So as I aim towards that while I'm discipling, while we're preaching and teaching, and we've got our addictions on the side too. What would your advice?
Addictions counseling. We have our addictions on the side. addictions counseling. Touche.
Really, you got no addictions in your life?
I have sinned.
Yes, we do addictions ministry for my little
My word,
legalist
legalist. There I go again.
So, what I was trying to say, what's your advice for someone like me who's behind, a few years behind you guys, while still looking, aiming for, that moment that we can do weekly services? What would your advice be?
I would say testing the waters is always good, to see what kind of buy-in you have. I've been like I did that back in the spring, or actually still in the winter, trying to just, hey, what if we do like a six-part series or maybe an eight-part series, a weekly thing on like Genesis 1 to 11. So you can understand why it's important in your Christian faith. And I had a lot of people say, yeah, oh yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I've always kind of wondered that, but then when I did it, no one showed up. And I get it, people are traveling, people have families, people have two jobs kind of thing. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you got to try to test it and see what works, for people's schedules and for how much they're willing to buy in. In their spiritual maturity, are they willing to invest in the church and invest in themselves, or do they still need further, I don't know, growth in those areas before you really can do something like that? Because I mean, we've tested a few things already, and they're all three of them were kind of wobbly, So it's like I say, going into this next year, it's like, okay, should we try a monthly thing, like as far as discipleship goes? Should we bi-weekly with it, in addition to the worship service, or should we maybe Sunday school and before worship service, the traditional way? What's going to work? And I think for someone like you, especially just getting started, it's kind of a trial and error thing to see what's going to work best with the people that you have there, and how best to shepherd them.
Thanks, Sean. What would you say, Matt?
I would say, man, it's unique to each person and each church. Hey, like, I know for me, I really appreciated the long runway, the 2 year runway of doing monthly services. That comes from a personal perspective, like a gifting and a talent perspective. I needed a long runway to prepare and know myself and kind of, flesh out some of my blind spots. But I would also say, as you go into it, have a healthy set of expectations towards, like, this is not, this is gonna be messy. It's gonna be messy. Things aren't gonna go right. When you deal with people, you deal with sin, as all three of us know. And so nothing is cookie cutter. But then have that expectation, and healthy perspective, I should say, that God is good. And like it says in Matthew 18, Jesus says, I am building my church, not your church. I'm building my church. And so, yeah.
Thanks, guys. If you're listening again, I encourage you to pray for Matt and John. This is just their first year doing 52 weeks, and it doesn't stop now. It just keeps going and going and going and going. Matt's already over here getting tired, already exhausted from hearing me talk about it. But, pray that we can get teams for them. Pray that they're able to form more of a core group, make those disciples, bring people around them so that, again, they don't have to do all of the work. I mean, we're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, but the thing about church planting is that sometimes you've gotta, wait for Jesus to make the saints before you can equip them. So that's the hard part there. So be praying for these men, encourage them, reach out to them. You can reach them each at their own Mile One Mission emails, or on websites, based social media, whatever. Reach out to them, encourage them, especially with the Christmas season coming up. Praying for you guys. Love you both. Thanks so much. You've been listening to Rugged Theology. Rugged Theology is brought to you by Mile One Mission. If you want to know more about Mile One Mission and our work in Newfoundland and Labrador, visit www.mileonemission.ca.